My name is Derek Duggan. I'm out here in Abu Dhabi.
Derek, you're originally from Wexford. You moved out to UAE many, many years ago. What happened to your family?
We moved out here in summer of 2006. We have twin boys. They were 4 years of age, myself and my wife Mary. Connor and Shane were their names. Yeah, we came out here as a family on a new adventure, 2006. I got a job opportunity and decided that we'd take it. And we'd experience life in the desert for a few years. The boys went to start primary school in the British school at Kubairat, here in Abu Dhabi. And we had a wonderful 6-7 years here. Really enjoyed it as a family. Climate is excellent. At least 8 months of the year, it's wonderful climate. Great outdoor activities, outdoor lifestyle, lots of sports.
So Shane and Connor, your twin boys, they were just 4 when they moved out to Abu Dhabi?
Yeah, correct. They were 4. Energetic young lads, always on the go. So we were looking for, you know, different activities to keep them occupied and maybe to tire them out a little bit. And they joined the Abu Dhabi Harlequins Rugby Club and started playing rugby. And they also joined the FINA, the Gaelic football club out here. There's a great Mayo man from Acklepath English who trained all the kids out here in the skills of Gaelic football. So together with the rugby and the Gaelic football, that they really occupied them and helped us to keep them somewhat entertained, let's say.
So they loved it, you loved it, you had a great expat life out here. Mm. You moved home back to Ireland and then tragedy struck.
We moved back in 2015. We wanted the boys to do secondary school, and they started in Castleknock College, and they loved Castleknock College. They had a really fantastic time there. They played Junior Cup rugby last year, but unfortunately, in the summer, last summer, on 3rd of July, one of my twin sons, Shane, was involved in a road traffic collision.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks, Henry. It was Tuesday, the 3rd of July. It was a really beautiful, sunny, warm day. He was rushed to the Beaumont Hospital. The staff in Beaumont did a really fantastic job. The ICU people, Dr. Derek Cremins, they did everything they could. They threw everything at it to try and keep Shane with us, but unfortunately it wasn't to be, and he passed away on Saturday, the 7th of July, around 2 p.m.
Assistant Commissioner David Sheen, Roads Police and Garda Headquarters. The reality is that speeding is the biggest killer on Irish roads, and we just don't seem to be getting the message in respect of that. And so far this year we've seen an increase in the number of people detected for speeding, and we're asking people this weekend not just about speeding but in mobile phones in particular, not to use your mobile phone while driving. They are the two biggest distractors resulting in fatalities on our roads.
And it's so tempting to look at your phone, it might buzz. If you haven't got a modern car, it won't come up on the dashboard. You'll have to look at the phone, especially with WhatsApp. How hard is it to get that message across, leave the phone, put the phone down? There has been a 24% increase in the number of motorists detected holding a mobile phone while driving. How do you get them just to put the phone down, just for the half an hour when they're getting from A to B?
People are going to have to make conscious decisions. They make a conscious decision to bring their phone with them. We're asking them to make a conscious decision to put your phone out of reach while you're driving, or turn the phone off. What we're finding on the roads is that even people buying expensive cars, €80,000 and above, are still detected while driving a mobile phone, when there's no need whatsoever, when you have a hands-free technology in your phone to do it. We're asking people to change their mindsets, leave their if they want to bring their phone with them, that's grand, put it out of reach or turn it off.
Moya Murdoch, Chief Executive of the Road Safety Authority. Last year, sadly, 148 families were bereaved. There was 148 people killed on Irish roads. It was actually the safest year since records began in 1959. That means there's 148 families that are still dealing with the aftermath of it, still trying to get used to the void in their families, the missing person in that household sitting around the table. It really is tragic, and people don't realise, who have not been affected by a road fatality, is it's such a violent, sudden death that they don't have any time to come to terms with it. You know, they really have just the memory of their loved one leaving that morning and just not coming back.
And no warning, just snuffed out like that.
Yes,
gone.
Yeah, and generally in very violent circumstances. The crash itself is very, very difficult. Even we're very aware of the pain and suffering of bereaved families. Even when we do go out with a Crash Lives ad, it does impact those families again and again that they see a similar situation on our roads. And it is sadly a byproduct that we have to try and be sensitive about. But if we can prevent other deaths by getting that message across, you know, and we save even one life, it is worth it, you know.
Some families feel that those ads hurt them all over again, but your message is the ads work, they save lives.
They do, actually. They really do help reduce the number of people taking chances out there, because people do empathise. They do realise, God, I could end up doing that to somebody, and they change their behaviour. And we have seen over the years in Ireland, it is definitely getting better. There's been a 47% reduction in the numbers of people killed on our roads, and it is down to things like our ad campaigns and other measures, obviously. And the families themselves who have been bereaved, they're great supporters of road safety in general. They really get behind changing the law, bringing things to the attention of the likes of the Road Safety Authority and to the guards, and to, in particular, the legislators in this country and the Dáil, and they really help get new legislation passed, and they put their weight behind it and make sure that necessary legislation goes through the Dáil. And really, it's all about pressure.
How many years have you been a guard?
36 years.
You've seen so much good, and you've also seen so much suffering. You know, knocking on the door, telling a family they've lost a loved one in a car fatality or in a car crash. How hard is it for them, and how hard is it for you?
I tell you, I'm passionate about road safety. I always have been, and that has been borne about by the victims. I have gone to too many homes in that period of my service. I've gone to too many homes where I have to cradle people in their home because they have lost a loved one in a fatal accident. You're calling to doors at 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the evening. It doesn't make it one iota difference, because the minute those people see your face and look into your eyes, because no matter how strong you are, you do well up, and they know exactly the news is not good.
And you have to cradle
those people in against your heart and say to them, look, I'm so sorry. And those people then grieve for the rest of their lives, really.
We're talking about slowing down over Easter. We're talking about saving lives. But as we speak, people are darting around suburban areas in their cars like lunatics, just to pick up a child or perhaps, you know, drop someone off. And accidents are happening. How do we get people to slow down in suburban built-up areas with families and children?
It's important for the Road Safety Authority to get the message across about the consequences of their behaviour. And we try to educate people during their driving tests, their lessons, about the consequences of inappropriate speed. But then we have the enforcement side, and we have heard some rhetoric out there about the over-enforcement of some of the legislation. However, it wouldn't be necessary if people behaved out there and if people weren't breaking the law, and speeding is no different. And unfortunately, some people need a little bit more than just education and advertising to make them slow down. They do need to feel the long arm of the law on their shoulder, and they will get caught, they will be detected speeding. And it is showing in the figures coming from An Garda Síochána, the number of increased penalties being issued.
Driving requires 100% of your concentration. If you're travelling even only at 100 kilometres an hour, you travel 24 metres in a period of 1 second. If you take your eyes off the road for even 1 second or 2 seconds, you can just imagine how far you're after travelling, and you don't know whether it's a child, whether it's a motorcyclist, whether it's a pedal cyclist, or whether it's a pedestrian that's in the road in front of you when you then come back your eyes on the road, and you may not be able to take the evasive action that you need. Driving requires 100% concentration, and I'm asking people this weekend to give it 100% concentration, and we will have safe roads, I guarantee you that.
And being a guard, I know I've noticed it, and especially in built-up areas and suburban areas, people have sped up. We can even hear motorbikes behind us speeding up, more than likely breaking the speed limit. Why are we in such a hurry? And would you agree, do you think suburban areas, everyone's just flashing around the place?
It beggars belief, with speeding and with mobile phones. I mean, mobile phones alone, for argument's sake, 32,000 people were caught in the last year while using a mobile phone while driving. We've got to get the message, we've got to change your behaviour. There is no need for us to be speeding around from A to B. If you plan your journey, if you give yourself plenty of time, and you do all of those things, there is no need for it. I do a lot of driving myself, and I know how long it takes me to get from A to B, and I just literally sit in the traffic and I know that I'll get there, but I'll give myself time to get to that position. And once you do that, you really do get to where you want to get to in the same time as if you had to rush around afterwards.
We've had so much support from all the communities, both at home and here in Abu Dhabi, since Shane passed away. And then the Fianna Club decided to hold the juvenile tournament in memory of Shane. They named the cup after him, and they invited us out to witness the tournament and to present the cup. And that was a really fantastic gesture on their behalf. Little things like that actually help us so much to bear the grief.
And living, I suppose, with that tragedy, and also your other twin boy, every day the thoughts are there.
Absolutely, it's always with us. It's always in our heart and in our mind. Shane was a really, you know, kind-hearted, generous, big smile, always looking out for other people. And that's why we want to, you know, keep his memory alive first and foremost, keep his memory as vibrant as possible, but also to keep it as positive as possible. And that's why we're trying to help as many people as we can in Shane's memory. We have a tournament organised in Castleknock, where we're bringing teams from Abu Dhabi here and from the local area in order to raise money for the Vincentian community in Ethiopia. We also have a fun run, family fun run day in Arklok in June to raise money for Beaumont Hospital. So Shane is still helping people. We also donated his organs, and some people got new lives from that as well. So even in death, Shane is helping people like he did in life.